This is the message from This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, May 3rd, 2026. Prayer. You're invited to a life of prayer.
Thank you, Kyle, for that amazing story of prayer. You're going to hear different prayer stories all throughout this series. To start off today, I want to go to a different prayer story from the Gospels. This is a story of Jesus and his disciples that is about prayer. So we're looking at Luke chapter 11. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Luke 11:1-4, God's word for God's people. Let's take our turn and let's pray together to get started. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and move in our hearts and just break up the soil. Give us good soil. Break through any obstacles, any distractions, any barriers. And give us a greater hunger to be with you in prayer, Lord. Teach us today. Teach us today, Lord. We're listening. We're seeking you, Lord. Have your way today and do exactly what you want to do in each one of our lives. Lord, we give all of this to you. We surrender everything to you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. God's people say, amen. All right, so for the entire month of May, we got 5 Sundays. We're going to be talking about prayer, all about prayer. And let me rephrase that. We're not just talking about prayer. We want to be learning about prayer, practicing prayer, equipping and empowering, engaging a life of prayer. That's what we want to do this month and beyond. I have actually, before we came to Connection and I was starting to prepare, like I have had it on my heart a long time to bring this message here. For part of my story, part of my walk with God and just the ministry he's called me to, I have just come to have such a deep conviction that in today, in this moment we're living in, the church of today, we really, really, really need to get back to a life of prayer. Like, it's one of the most important things we could do. So I'm really excited to dig into this with you. I know it's such a simple, basic, like Christianity 101 kind of topic, and yet sometimes the most simple things are the things we neglect and the things we need to grow in. And so I'm so excited to grow in this with you. I have started saying the past couple years when I've just been able to like preach in different churches, sometimes visit different churches and stuff, I've started to say, like, if I could give one gift to the church today, like if God said, hey, just pick one thing that we could give the church right now, just one thing, anything, I would give the gift of prayer. Out of anything I could pick, I would give the church the gift of prayer. But not just like the religious duty, like the obligatory, we're going to pray to start the meeting and we're going to pray before our meal and we're going to pray to make a transition in the worship service. You know what I mean? We do that stuff kind of sometimes, right? But I mean, just the gift of authentic, earnest, relational, simple, powerful prayer as Jesus taught it. I would see the church recover that. Because if we could recover that, man, I believe everything else would flow from there. Everything else would flow from there. It is so crucial, and it is such an extraordinary invitation and opportunity for us. Extraordinary. Time and time again, when you see people and churches and movements that embrace this invitation, you see amazing things. Because he promised. He promised. So we're talking about prayer. A life without prayer is a life without power. A church without prayer is a church without power. A life with prayer is a life with God, which means anything is possible. A church of prayer is a church that is awake and alive and ready to move with God. The previous church I served in Pennsylvania, my first couple weeks there, I was even younger. I was 29. I was brand new to being a lead pastor. And somebody wanted to come and talk to me. And I thought, oh, they're probably like, it's something I wore or something I said or whatever. Like, I'll be listening and put on my nice pastoral hat. And she looked at me and she said, hey, pastor, I just felt called to come and pray with you. And she reached across the table and she grabbed my hand, this senior saint, this woman of God. And she said, and she prayed with me there. And I felt the presence of God, like, ministering to me. She totally disarmed me. Like, I thought I was going to serve her. And she's just like, I'm going to pray for you, pastor. And from there, I was like, we should pray together every week. And it was two of us at a weekly prayer meeting. It grew to three. It grew to five. It grew to seven. Very, very, very simple. We just met for an hour and prayed for the church every week. But you know what I saw over the 7 years we served there was that prayer group, that little prayer group. I felt like it was the rudder of the ship. I felt like that was the engine room. I felt like anything that we were going to seek God to do in that church came through that time of intercessory prayer, and we watched time and time and time and time again how God moved through that prayer. It happens. We have a prayer group here that meets every Thursday. We have other prayer groups. We have people of prayer. It's a part of who we are, but I want it to become a part of every single Connection Church member's life, every single family. A couple quotes on prayer from people who had powerful lives of prayer. Watchman Nee was somebody in the 20th century. He was a Chinese church planter in the middle of the 1900s. And even as communism was kind of overtaking China and Christianity was going to become a very dangerous thing, he led a movement where over 100,000 people came to Christ in China. His name's Watchman Nee. And he said this about prayer. He said, our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without the rails. We lay the rails upon which God's purposes move. That's how he chooses to work with us and partner with us. He says, I want you to pray, and I'm going to respond and move with you, but this is how I want it to be done. Our prayers lay the rails. John Wesley, someone we've heard of, a founder of the Methodist movement we're part of, he saw a lot of moves of God as well in his time. And he was said to spend every morning kneeling down in 2 hours of prayer. That's how John Wesley started every single day. And he said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. He saw God do a lot of things. And he said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. Starts there. Martin Luther, another great person of prayer who was a Protestant reformer, we know about him. He once said, I have so much to do today that I'm going to have to spend 3 hours praying just to get it all done. What about that? You ever have that perspective? I'm so busy, I'm going to have to spend 3 hours praying just to get it done. I'm working on that. I'm trying to get to 30 minutes. Come on, Lord. Prayer is the extraordinary invitation to a life with God. And this was the lifestyle of the early church and the apostles. If you read the book of Acts, this was their lifestyle. This was the lifestyle of Jesus. So what are we going to do? How are we going to respond to this invitation? Amazing invitation. When you look at this story of Jesus and the disciples, when he gave them the Lord's Prayer, you see that, you know, they're kind of at this point where they've been walking with him for some time now. They've been walking with him. They've been up close and personal. They've been doing life with him, traveling with him, ministering with him, watching behind the scenes, watching how Jesus does it, how he lives his life. What is the secret to his life? What is the foundation of his life? And they got to this point where they were ready to ask, Lord, we want some of that. Show us how that works. They watched Jesus as he had this relationship with the Father. And they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like that. Jesus was modeling for us what it looks like to be in a relationship with the Father. And for Jesus, as the Son of God, this is just from the beginning. The Son has always enjoyed this perfect fellowship of love and communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he's just practicing that and showing that with his earthly life. And the disciples are like, how can we participate in that? How can we experience that? How can we have a relationship with the Father like you do, a prayer life like you do? Lord, would you teach us to pray? That's what they're saying. Teach us to pray. What is prayer? Sometimes the like most basic things are the hardest things to define, right? And how crazy and awesome is this mystery that here we are as finite human beings having a conversation with an infinite God who's like bigger than time and space? Like that'll like trip your brain if you think about it too hard. But what is prayer? A lot of people say, you know, the simplest definition is just talking to God. Talking to God. I think that's true. Like prayer is, it's talking to God. You sometimes see people on stage and pastors and whatever, like we offer these prayers and maybe it just comes across as kind of like very high and holy and they use all the right words and you're like, well, I couldn't do that. Like, no, prayer is just talking to God. It's just talking to God. But I actually want to broaden that definition even further than just talking, because when you think about the relationship with the people you're closest to, if you just limited it to talking, you'd be pretty narrowly defining, right, all the ways you relate, right? We relate and we communicate in a lot of different ways beyond just talking, although that's an important part of it. We sometimes narrow our definition of our prayer life where it's just kind of a bunch of lists and we're just going to give God all these lists and stuff. And don't get me wrong, He wants the lists. He asks us to pray. He tells us, I want you to tell me what you need. I want you to ask. That's good. But I would just say prayer is even more than that. I would say more than just talking to God, prayer is relating to God. Relating to God. It's talking. It's listening. It's paying attention. It's beholding. It's sometimes it's just being with, silently being with, right? Just being with God. Like, we don't even have words, but prayer is all of that. Prayer is relating to God. And when Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, he kind of gives us this form and this focus to it. And he shows us that for disciples of Jesus, prayer is relating to God for the sake of his kingdom and his good purposes in this world and in our lives. Prayer is relating to God for the sake of his kingdom and his purposes in our lives. So the Lord's Prayer, a lot of us know this, have heard this, we might even have it memorized. It is this model for our prayer life that Jesus gives us that is astonishingly simple and deep at the same time. And Jesus basically gives us five simple requests in this prayer that cover the most important things. You can pretty much fit everything about your life with God into these five requests in the Lord's Prayer. And you might have noticed when we read in Luke's scripture today, in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, he gives kind of the Cliff Notes version. It's a little bit abbreviated. It's like the most simple form of it, but it's the same meaning completely. If you go to Matthew's Gospel in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer there has a few more details, and that's the version we tend to memorize. We kind of have in our churches, like we have this sort of liturgy that we share the Lord's Prayer together. And so that's kind of the version a lot of us are familiar with. You find the same meanings are true in Luke and Matthew, and it's built on that. But we're just going to walk through the version a lot of us have memorized of the Lord's Prayer that is rooted in these scriptures from Luke and Matthew. So here's how it begins. Let's just break it down. It starts with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So Jesus' disciples are like, teach us to pray, Lord. We want to relate with God like you do, with the Father like you do, Lord. Help us and show us. And Jesus gives us this prayer. And he basically is like, these are the things I want you to think about every time you pray. Here's how I want you to approach this. And it begins, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so the eternal God wants a relationship with us. And we get to call him Father. We get to be his children. Prayer is essentially relational. That's how Jesus taught us to relate. And the first request is that God's name would be hallowed. Hallowed be your name. That just means like honored or praised or reverenced, right? And so the first request is, let your name be hallowed. Let it be revered. Let it be honored throughout the earth. Because in this world of sin, God's name has been rejected and ridiculed by many, right? And all we're asking, Lord, that all the world will once again come to praise you. Because if we can do that, we'll be getting back on the right track again. If the most important thing could again become the glory of God, we'd be returning to our purpose. And so we pray, Lord, hallowed be your name. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be praised and honored throughout the earth, because you're the one who deserves all the glory. That is our priority. That's what we want to see in this world, Lord. Then the next request is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just notice the things that Jesus puts first in this prayer so far, the first things. The most important things we can pray for are for God to be rightly worshiped, rightly praised, and for his kingdom to come. That heaven and earth would be reunited. That God's space and God's life and God's ways would invade ours. So we're praying his kingdom and his will on earth, in this nation, in our community, in our church, in our lives, in our hearts, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he's saying with your prayer life. Seek that. Whatever's right in front of you, whatever's in you, you're just looking at it going, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come. If his prayer can become your prayer, and that becomes the cry of your heart, you're going to see it's going to start to become part of your life. On earth as it is in heaven, Lord, your will, God. These are the first things he wants us to bring. But then he gets to the next request, and it says, give us this day, give us our daily bread. Even as we're asking for those big things, those first priorities, the heavenly things, God is not neglecting our personal things. You know, what did Jesus teach about the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you as well. That's the proper order. Seek the kingdom first, and all these other things will follow. So we just did that in the prayer. We sought his kingdom first, and now he says, but you can ask. You can ask for it. Give us our daily bread. But he invites us to ask for our needs. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, they relied on that manna, that daily bread. Just like the first humans in the garden totally relied on God. It's like he wants us to rely on him for our deepest needs, the simple things, the big things. Bring those requests. Bring those lists. He wants us to ask, to trust, to depend on him for all these things. He wants us to see all the provisions and opportunities in our lives as gifts from him. It's how we're made to live. And so we pray, give us our daily bread. We ask. And then we go, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And this last part of the prayer, these last two requests, we're kind of recognizing that, okay, as we get on this journey and we're walking with Jesus and we're seeking God's kingdom and we're seeking his will and we're seeking his provision in our lives, we're going to be on this journey and it's going to take us through all sorts of things. And there's going to be moments where we struggle. There's going to be moments where we make mistakes, where we fall short, where we sin. There's going to be moments where people sin against us. There's going to be trials and difficulties and good parts and bad parts. And all along this journey, we've got to keep coming back to God with all these things. Prayer is an opportunity to constantly realign our lives with God. When we say, forgive us, Lord, when we're exercising repentance. It's like that GPS, you get off track and it's going to tell you like, hey, recomputing, we're going to get you back on course here. Prayer, this life of prayer is when we can always have that posture of, I'm going to get back in alignment with you, God. Lord, I messed up there. I definitely blew it. Please forgive me. And also, I know you want me to extend that same grace and mercy and forgiveness to others. And so it's like, if we could let this prayer become our life and we could have this mindset of like, oh man, the moment I'm starting to drift from God, the moment I'm getting pulled into something else, listening to another voice, going another way, can I just right away turn back to him in that moment? The sooner, the better, right? And this mindset, Lord, I want to live a life of repentance. I'm always trying to just realign my life with you. So I'm not going to be getting off course here because I want to walk your way. So we pray, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And then it all finishes with, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? And so we know that trials, that word temptation also means like tests and trials. So temptation, tests, trials, like hard times. We know the hard times are going to come. Jesus said, hey, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It is just part of the world, unfortunately. And there's going to be trials and tests and difficulties. But he says, you're actually invited to pray. You have permission to pray that God would spare us from the trials and the tests and the temptations as much as possible. Right? Lord, please, I know there's going to be tests, but please lead us not into them. Like, we want to avoid it as much as possible, God. This world is full of evil. There's an enemy. There's a kingdom of darkness. And so one of the reasons we need to live a life of prayer is that we need to be prepared and protected from all that. Because it will come to undermine our life with God. The enemy doesn't want that to happen. He's gonna come against that. And so one of the strategies that we get to resist and oppose that is a life of prayer. We get to be aware, hey, there is an enemy out there. He doesn't want me to succeed in this walk with Christ. So I'm gonna be in prayer, putting on the armor of God, resisting that, walking in his strength and his grace to give me what I need through those battles, right? Now, by this point, you're probably wondering, why did Jesus forget the last part of the prayer? If you have it memorized, you're like, why did it stop there? Jesus, what did you forget? Well, here's the thing. Very, very, very early in the church, they took Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer from these scriptures, and they started to use it in corporate worship and in kind of like a liturgical setting. And so they added on a doxology. They borrowed from King David's prayer way back in the Old Testament when he was dedicating the temple. And so they're like, you know what? We're going to finish the Lord's Prayer with a praise, a doxology. And so they added on this line from the Old Testament, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And I think Jesus would be okay with us adding that onto his prayer because it's never bad to praise God in doxology. So anyway, that's the prayer we're used to because the church took this and we brought it forward. And so a lot of times we pray in that way. But you've just walked through the Lord's Prayer. You just walk through it together. This is what it is. Prayer is the most extraordinary invitation you could ever receive. The God of the universe wants to be in a relationship with you, to communicate with you, to relate to you in your day-to-day life. And he's inviting each of us to partner with him so that his kingdom and his good and pleasing will could unfold in our lives. What are you going to do with this invitation? What do you do when you get an invitation? Are you like me sometimes when the calendar is so full, you just kind of add it to the mail pile? You're like, oh, there's an invitation. I'm just going to put that on the pile for now because I don't have enough time. Are you going to do that with God's invitation? I don't know, Lord. Maybe I'm going to see what my plans are for Friday night, and if nothing else happens, I'll respond to the invitation. You know, if I got nothing else to do, I'm going to wait, Lord, until the next part where the calendar's a little more free, and then I'll respond to that invitation, Lord. They're like, maybe, TBD, Lord. How are you going to respond to his invitation? I'm inviting everyone in Connection Church family throughout the month of May to take time daily just to be in prayer. I know for some of you, that's like the most basic thing. You've already been walking in that. And for others, that feels really big. It feels really hard. Like, really, you want me to commit to pray every day? We're all over the map here. That's okay. We're all like walking with Jesus as his students. But I'm challenging all of us, wherever your life is currently at, whatever your prayer life currently looks like or lack thereof, spend time daily through this series. Make time for prayer. Make room. I'm giving everybody a simple tool. You're going to get this bookmark on the way out. Let me see where I put it. Here it is. You're going to get one of these on the way out. It's a very simple tool. It's based on all the elements of the Lord's Prayer. And it's an acronym that just is P-R-A-Y. I want to give this to you as a simple tool to help your prayer life, to grow your prayer life. P stands for pause and praise. R stands for repent. A stands for ask. Y stands for yield. And on this bookmark, it gives you some scripture and a little description of each of those steps. And you can use this to pray in your journal or in your personal prayer time. You can pray this with your family. You can pray this with your groups. This is a simple way to say, here's how I'm going to commit to a daily life of prayer this month. And we're going to be talking about each one of those components much more in depth each Sunday from now, okay? The P-R-A-Y is a simple way to get a hold of this and live into this. Whether you're mature in your prayer life, whether this is kind of a whole new thing for you, we all have room to grow, and we're all invited to this. And this invitation is just as extraordinary for us today as it was when Jesus gave it to his disciples then. And if we accept it, you can be sure to see extraordinary things continue to happen in your life and in your world. Why is it so hard sometimes for us just to accept the invitation to go get into that prayer closet, just be with God? Why is it so hard for us? I want to finish with a story for you. I just heard it last week. There's a singer, Matthew West. You might have heard of him. He's a Christian singer. And he talked about this experience he had when he was on a father and daughter church camp with his kid. And so they were doing this kind of like faith building, family bonding exercise where you would hike through the woods together, right? And so the kids would be blindfolded and the dads had to guide them through, you know, the trails, right? And so the dads got these three simple instructions to give the kids that they had to stick to the whole time. They had to remember, these are the three things you need to know. These are the three simple instructions as I'm going to guide you through the woods here because you can't see. You got to trust me. So here it is. Number one, I will never leave you. Number two, you can ask me anything. Number three, you should only listen for the sound of my voice. Those are the three simple instructions. He said, okay, repeat it after me, honey. Say it again. Okay, you got it? Are you ready? And they got started. They all went off and they started their walk through the woods. The kids are blindfolded. The dads are guiding them with these three rules that they have to follow. And at first, it was very simple because, you know, that he could put his hand on her shoulder and guide her and he could talk to her freely and just say, watch out for that root. We're about to turn. We're going uphill. Let's stay with the group here. And it was pretty simple. But then with the silent signal from the camp counselor, he had to take his hand off her shoulder. And now they're still going, and he's able to talk and say, here we go, this is the direction we're going to go, check this out, and they're still going, staying together. But then, with another signal, a silent signal, so she doesn't know what's happening, he can't talk. Dad can't talk anymore. He can only talk if she asks, if she remembers the instructions, you can ask me anything. He can speak, but he can't speak unless she asks. So now it's starting to get more challenging. Time's going by, and she's getting a little bit nervous, like, I don't feel his hand anymore. I'm not hearing him anymore. Am I in the right place? What am I supposed to be doing? And this is where it gets tricky because the camp counselor now kind of came in to add to this lesson and kind of was the voice of deception, right? To get her to see if she was going to follow the instructions or not. And the camp counselor comes beside her while she's walking blindfolded and he's like, hey, it looks like you got separated from your dad. He's actually right there. She just doesn't know it. Do you want to follow me and I'll get you back on track? I'll take you back to the rest of the group. And dad's there going, oh man, I hope she remembers what the instructions were. She's only supposed to listen to my voice. And she goes, okay, yeah, show me where to go. She walks right along. And of course, the camp counselor, you know, takes her and leads her into, now she's just standing in a ditch and she's just standing in front of a tree, blindfolded, alone in the woods and waiting there going, what's going on now? And the dad's just kind of helplessly back there, just kind of like, watching, waiting, what are we going to do now? Whole group separated. They let this go on a couple minutes, just kind of let it sink in, and the camp counselor comes back to her and goes, hey, it looks like you got separated from the group. You're not where you're supposed to be, are you? She's like, no, I don't think so. I don't hear anybody anymore. And the camp counselor goes, do you remember the instructions you got at the beginning? Do you remember what those were? She's thinking for a while. And dad's just waiting, like, oh, it's going to happen. And finally she goes, Dad, are you there? He said, I will never leave you. Ask for anything, only listen to my voice. Dad, are you there? And Dad's like crying at this point. It's like, yes, I'm here. I've been here the whole time. And then she goes, can you help me? Yes, you just listen to my voice. I will tell you exactly where to go. You just got to ask, listen to my voice. And he guides her right back on track and they get back all into it. I will never leave you. You can ask me anything. Only listen for the sound of my voice. That's the promise of God's word. That's the invitation of prayer. Are you walking with him today? Do you need to get back on track? It starts with his word. It starts with prayer. So let's take this invitation. Let's take this journey together. Let's pray. We're getting ready now to come to the Lord's table. And this, what Jesus did here, is the reason we have access to prayer. What he did on the cross as he gave his life for us restores our relationship so that we can respond to this invitation to know God in this way. This is why he did it. This is why Jesus did it, so we could have this unbroken relationship. That's what we come here to remember and experience and receive again. So let's come to the Lord's table. Let's accept this invitation. God, teach us to pray. Lead us, make us a people of prayer, a praying church. Make us a people who are hungry to know you more and walk with you, and that we can just always remember the moment we get off track, the moment we feel lost, the moment we feel afraid, the moment we have a need, the moment we're struggling with anxiety, the moment we don't know the way to go, let our instant response be to say, Lord, are you there? Can you help me to remember what you promised, Lord? To seek you in prayer for all these things we have to deal with in this life, God. And to partner with you to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for this amazing gift. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the cost and you counted it joy to do your Father's will because of the joy set before you so that you could bring all your children back to you, Lord. Thank you for this gift. God, we remember that night that we call the Last Supper, Lord Jesus, when you were with your disciples in the upper room and you took that bread and you blessed it and you gave thanks and you broke it. You gave it to your disciples and you said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. And Lord, we remember you took that cup. You blessed it and you said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Pour it out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we thank you, God, for this holy, awesome mystery where you have given yourself to us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, pour out your presence on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them for us to be the body and blood of Christ so that we can receive afresh his grace, his presence, his goodness into our lives. Thank you, God, as we prepare to come to this table, Lord, we take a moment to confess anywhere where we've gotten off track, to ask that you would forgive us our sins, Lord, and lead us back into your way of everlasting life. Take a moment to talk to him about that now. Thank you, Lord, for the good news that in Jesus' name we are forgiven and free. And now we pray together this prayer of all prayers, the Lord's prayer that he's given us to be a guide for our lives. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.